Welcome to Hungry for God Church free weekly podcast. Enjoy this message. For more information about Hungry for God Church, visit h4gchurch.com.
I'd ask you to stand one more time, if you can. Our associate leader, director of ministry, Ryan Telford, as he comes to give us the word of the Lord. Amen. Come on, come on. Ryan is slowly becoming one of my favorite preachers to listen to. So I want you to get ready to hear a word from God. Amen.
Ebony, you're not allowed to call me elder. I'm younger than you. I'm joking. Hey, everybody. You guys have your seats. Awesome. It's been a good day so far. I'm excited for what God's going to do for our house. And what because he's done so much already. We started as a house, and we started doing, when Jay started and we all met, we were at Amir's house. We were in the living room in Amir's house, and Jay was like, we're going to start, I feel God calling me to start H4G Church. And then everybody was like, we know it's coming, everybody knew it was coming, but at that time, everybody was all in this different transition places in their lives. Some people were engaged. Some people were just getting married. We just got married. Some people were just moving into new places in their life. So there wasn't the ability to everybody to move together like we actually wanted to when we said when we started H4G Bible study. We're like, okay, eventually it's going to be a church, and we're all going to be there together. But the thing is about God is that If he supplies the vision, the Bible says, unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. Right? And sometimes we feel that it's a physical house. I believe the house is actually the vision. Because a lot of people have houses, right? And a lot of people have houses that they build according to what some contractor, some architect, or somebody builds. But when they get into the house, they find so much errors in the house. It's like, oh, this is broken down, this wasn't done right, this was done wrong. But the thing is, if they had the right person do the architecture, the right person give them the vision, if they had God do it, then there will be no problems in that house. But I believe God did for us, God gave our pastor a vision for our house. And I can honestly say, and I've been partnering with Jay, and I've been so happy and fortunate to do that, that since we started, we've never been behind in the bill. We've never had to worry about where we're going to be next, because God has always supplied. We started off, and like even 2 weeks before we started the church, we did not know where we were going to meet. We did not know where we were going to meet. We said we're going to start the church this date, but did not know where we were going to meet. That week right before we're about to start the church, somebody's like, okay, we have a building, this is here. And you're like, okay, that's it, we're going to go. And we just started. We didn't decipher if it's going to be right, if it wasn't, with all that kind of stuff. You know, it's the building, it happened, we went with it. And the thing about us, what we do with God, if we all know, because all of us know what God wants, I can't say all of us, that's probably kind of grand, I can't say that about everybody, but a lot of us know what God has for us. But when it shows up, we always go ask somebody, can you confirm, can you have a word, can you do this? And I'm like, why? Did God tell you or did he not tell you? Because now you've just sacrificed God's vision on the altar of man's heart. And if you sacrifice God's vision on the altars of man's heart, you will get man's reward. Because we always do this in our lives where we take what God gives us and gonna go and take it to man and ask man to make it more. Do you understand what we're doing? In the beginning, God said, His command was be fruitful and multiply. If he gave the commandment to be fruitful and multiply, and every creation, even animals, have been doing this since the beginning of time, why do we need man to multiply and to make us fruitful? Listen, a word from God is more powerful than a thought in a man's head. We have all of these thoughts in our heads about different things that people tell us, and this can't happen and this can't be done. But most of us already had a word from God. But we let that be supplanted by the thoughts in our heads, thoughts in some other person's head, and we actually allow that to actually drive where we go to in our lives. And we really have to stop that. Amen. That's just a little side note. That's not part of my message. Because I just wanted to say that because for our house and our people and what we're doing in our house, there's a vision. And a lot of us, you guys have been here from the beginning with us, after our founding members, those guys initially first joined the church, you guys have been here. You guys have seen how we've grown. You guys have seen the changes. So, you know God is with it. And if you're here, he wants you to partner with it. It's not complicated. Don't overthink the matter. It's not complicated. Amen? All right. Let's get into my message real quick. It's going to be a quick one. Jay gave me this assignment to wrap this up. And I'm gonna do my best. I mean, it's kind of hard. Jay's been speaking for the last 3 weeks, and he's been tearing the house down. And he goes, "Ryan, finish it off." And I'm like, "You already tore the whole thing down. What am I supposed to do?" But I'm gonna try. All right, let's pray really quick. Father God, we thank you, God, that. Father God, that the words of our hearts, the meditations of our hearts, and the words of our mouth, Father God, are what you, Father God, desire, Father God. And as I speak of Father God, let it be your words, Father God. Let it be your Holy Spirit led, your Holy Spirit infused power behind these words, Father God. Let your people, Father God, take these words, Father God, and not see that it comes from me, but it comes from you. Father God, thank you that you're supplying every word that's coming out of my mouth. You're supplying every thought that comes into my head. Father God, and as these words and thoughts are coming out of my mouth, Father God, and they're being planted in your people's heart, Father God, let it bring forth fruit, Father God. Father God, let it not fall by the wayside, Father God, that the devourer, the birds, the fowls of the air will come and take it away. Father God, that it will be rooted and grounded in their hearts, Father God, and it will spring forth and then bring forth fruit in season. Father God, and it will multiply and it will bring them to where they need to be. Father God, I thank you that you're doing it because you said that you caused us to prosper and to be in good health. Father God, you caused us to prosper and be in health. You said, I know the plans that I have for you to give you hope in the future. Father God, may these words of Father God that I speak today give people hope in the future that takes them into their destiny and propels them into their purpose. Father God, I thank you that you're doing it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, let's get into it. Let's really quick hop into the scripture. We're going to start in Isaiah 2. Isaiah 2. Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah. Some people say that way. The portion of scripture that we're going to read today, and I'm going to, It's a little piece of interesting history about Isaiah. The book of Isaiah has more things about hope than any other scripture. And the majority of Isaiah is actually realized in the New Testament. Isaiah is probably one of the most quoted books in the New Testament than any other book in the Bible. If you want to read an Old Testament book, read Isaiah. Because you're going to read it, you're like, oh, wait, they said this. And so even the minor prophets that came after Isaiah actually reference Isaiah. And it's actually kind of crazy. But just a little side note by Isaiah. It's just amazing. But Isaiah 2. This was Isaiah's son of Amoz. Saw. This word saw, every time you see it, well, it's actually revealed. It's like a revelation, right? Concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Judah was actually part of Samaria, and Jerusalem is part of Judea, right? Let's go on next verse, please. In the last days, this is Isaiah, he's talking about it, and he's seeing this. He said, the Lord revealed this to him. This is going to happen in the last days. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the chief mountain among the mountains. So there's going to be God's mountains, and there's going to be other mountains. But his mountain will be the chief mountain. It will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. All the nations will go to it, will flow to it. Many people will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion. The word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many people. They will beat their swords into plowshares. So they will stop fighting and they will start farming. And their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. We're going to stop right there for now. And I really just want to hone in and talk a little bit about the mountain, the chief mountain. The thing about this in the scripture, and what I loved about the scripture, can we go back to verse 2, please? Okay. I just want to see that it's different translation than mine say, because I want to read mine, so I want to make sure it says it. It says, mine says in verse 2, it says, now it will come about that in the last days, the mountain of the house of the Lord, right? This says the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the chief mountain and will be raised above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. And the thing is, if you understand landscapes and the way things flow, is that what happens if you have a mountain, right? Everything flows down the mountain into a valley, right? But the scripture is saying that things are going to stream to the mountain. Naturally, in landscape, things don't stream to mountains; they stream away from mountains, right? You get that? You guys know that? Things stream away from mountains. Things don't normally stream to mountains, right? And the thing that God wants to do is that He wants to change the way the world flows. So the natural order of things is that thin streams away from mountains. The natural order of things is what happens is that when things are being built, eventually what man builds, eventually what happens, it starts to dissipate after a while. Because things start to stream away from it. It's what happened with Wall Street, right? And what happens is that all these people became in this one central idea. Like, you know what we're gonna do? I'm gonna get a little nerdy for a little while, if you guys don't mind. But what they did is that some genius figured out, okay, if I take this, what is called loans and what is called credit, people owe me, and if I actually put them into actual patent, into a deal, and sell it to people at a certain price, then I can actually get that money, and they hold on to that note while you pay them off. And what happened is that they started, what that one person that bought the deal, and obviously somebody might not be paying back their loans, but they do, okay, you know what? I know you gave at this rate. I'm still gonna make money. So I'm gonna talk to somebody else and make money off of that. So that's what kept happening. So if you keep, but the money wasn't actually there yet. So what happened is that people started defaulting on their loans. So that actual money that they thought they had, that people can't actually pay that price of those loans anymore, the actual value of that thing went away. And that's what happened. So the value of that whatever the package deal is said started to dissipate. So all of a sudden, when something, I sold you something that I said it was $1 million, but now because these people can't pay it and whatever value of the house is going down because they can't pay it, now it's actually worth $500,000. So if that happens to a whole bunch of companies and a whole bunch of people, that's why our economy failed. What happened is that they build this thing so big, this mountain of debt. For everybody, they build this mountain of huge debt that everybody was gonna owe, and eventually what happens is that it failed. Because they built it. Right? It wasn't a strategy that somebody went to God to and got it was something great, because God would never give anybody a strategy to put people in debt. Right? It's biblical. God says, you no longer will be. You guys know your word? You will no longer be borrowers, but you will be rather lenders. It's also in the Old Testament, there's also this time called Jubilee, where you actually, all your debts will be forgiven. So it's biblical. So the world creates a system that wasn't based on any kind of biblical principle. That's why it failed. So they built this mountain, and all of a sudden everything failed, and everything collapsed. And then they said, okay, they're too big to fail. And that's where all of us now have to go. They take money out of our pockets and go to actually make sure that these companies stabilize so they don't go apart, because people's jobs depended on it. So that's what happened in the stock market. That's my little nerdy moment. So that's what happened. But with God, his strategy, it doesn't work that way. See, God's strategy is always built to win. God's strategies and what he gives to us is always a strategy that's meant to win. The problem with us is that we get halfway through the strategy and we start questioning if it's gonna win. Do you ever see, if you watch basketball games, sports games, you see, okay, a coach has a strategy when the game first starts. It's like, this is what we're gonna do, this is what we need to do to win, right? But then all of a sudden, they go on the court and the players don't follow the strategy and they start losing and the players start doing their own thing, right? You know what, I'm gonna take him one-on-one because I'm no better than him. I can do this on my own because I know I'm the best out here, I'm the fastest, I'm the most athletic, they start doing everything on their own. Now all of a sudden, They're down 5, then they're down 10, then they're down 30, then they're down 4, and all of a sudden it's a blowout. And everybody's like, what happened here? There's supposed to be two good teams playing each other. But this team is really terrible. It's because people actually went away from the strategy and started doing whatever they want to do. I'm not going to ask y'all if anybody has done that in their lives, but we're just going to move on. Because all of us has actually done that at some point in our lives. God has given us all strategies and ways to actually our lives to go, but we've all said, you know what? I'm going to do it my own way. And then when things start to actually not go the way we want it to go, we're like, wait, God, your plan's not working. Yes, because you're not following it. Because I gave you a plan that works. And the strategies of God always work, right? So we have to get that in our mind. So we're just going to say that with me. Say the strategies of God always work. Always work. Then what happened here in Isaiah, after Isaiah gave this particular scripture talking about how the chief mountain was going to be the chief mountain, this is what happened after. we're gonna go down a little bit. And I'm gonna get to my point that I really want to drive home here. We're going to go to verse number 6, please, really quick. Yeah. You have abandoned your people, the house of Jacob. They are full of superstitions from the east. They practice divination like the Philistines and clasp hands with pagans. Next verse, please. Their land is full of silver and gold. There is no end to their treasure. Y'all read that? There is no end to their treasure. Their land is full of horses. There is no end to their chariots. Their land is full of idols. They bow down to the work of their hands. All of us have started, we bow down to the works of man's hand. We bow down to the work of having a nice house, bound to work, having a nice car, bound up. All these things are actually things that God is. Man actually take ideas from God and create something, but it's actually the works of their hands. So what their fingers have made. 9, please. So man will be brought low and mankind humble. Do not forgive them. Go into the rock, hide in the ground, from the dread of the Lord and the splendor of his majesty. The eyes of the arrogant man will be humbled, and the pride of men brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. Amen. Next verse, please. The Lord Almighty has a day stored for all the proud and lofty, for all that is exalted, and they will be humbled. Listen, the church's time is coming. God says, I'm coming back for a church that is spotless, without wrinkle, a bride that is good. Your time is coming. For all the cedars of Lebanon, tall and lofty, and all the oaks of Bashan. For all the tower mountains and all the high hills. For every lofty tower and every fortified wall. For every trading ship and every stately vessel. The arrogant of man will be brought low, and the pride of the men, and the pride of men humble. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. And the idols will totally disappear. The thing about, and I love that everybody, it's kind of hard, it's a little bit of a hard scripture, right? everybody loves to read the nice scriptures in the Bible, and they love to read the prophets that talk really nice and talk about really good things that's gonna happen, and everything's all rosy and beautiful, everything's coming up roses. But this kind of stuff we skip over. Because the church is so, and this church was the same way. The Old Testament church was the same way. They have all these different prophets, right, that will come along, and they will all talk about hope. So eventually, they came to a point where prophets would actually get paid to give a word of hope. Prophets would go around and says, and they would say, the kings or whoever's in, say, I need a word. Is this a good word? Okay, I'll pay you for it. If it was a bad word, they would not let the prophets prophesy. Some prophets were actually killed if they actually had a bad word. Prophets in the Bible got killed because they gave a bad word. Because it was an accurate word, but it wasn't what they wanted to hear. We have to get to the point where we get out of this mentality where if somebody doesn't tell us, if God doesn't say exactly what we want to hear, it doesn't mean that it's not right. His thoughts, his ways are higher than ours. Amen? So, fast forward through really quick to the book of Isaiah, and I'm going to get to the point. Isaiah was like one of the premier prophets of his time. Everybody wanted to speak to Isaiah. Micah, which you read later in the Bible, if you read Micah actually referenced the same text in his book. Micah and Isaiah were actually, they say they were actually companions. They actually might have knew each other and stuff like that. But Isaiah went around and he would prophesy to all of these kings and tell them what to do. He was like, I see this coming. Do this, exalt the Lord, and he will actually help you. And the kings would be like, no, we're not doing that. I'm the king, things are gonna go my way. And whatever I decide, this is what's gonna happen. And this is what led Israel and Jerusalem into actually being taken over by Babylon, right? And when the Israel and they got taken over by Babylon, they were in Babylonian confinement, they're like, well, how did we get here? Said, wait, Isaiah, they said they're coming back. How do we actually get out of this? This is what you do. You repent, you say, you do this, and God's gonna deliver you. Did not do it again. So there's a series of kings or rulers that actually got news that they didn't like, and they actually went away and did their own thing and kept letting their people further and further into captivity. And this is where I kind of want to start talking about the meat of my message, is that we have come to this point, and we as a people, where we have been led further and further into captivity. It's a state in Brooklyn right now that churches are being bought over because these neighborhoods are being taken over, and churches are being bought over, and they're buying churches up. Like, churches have been in neighborhoods for years, hundreds of years, historical churches in Bed-Stuy, all over Brooklyn. They're being taken over by people, Babylonian mindset people, that want to get money, that want to get wealth. And churches are being taken down, and people are being, the reason, and when churches are being taken down, we are being led captive. Because the Bible says that the house of the Lord is a strong tower. The mighty run into it and they are saved. The righteous run into it and they are saved, right? So if there are no longer churches and there's areas and places and buildings for us to actually meet, then we are being led to further and further into captivity. Because that's what happened with Jerusalem and Israel. Their land and their church, where they're actually supposed to be, got taken away from them by Babylonian people, and then all of a sudden now they're subjected to Babylonian mindsets and concepts. So that actually changed the way they actually did life. So even the point when people come to take them out, right? And to flashback to Moses, and we try to take the people out of Egypt. He got them out, and all soon as he got them out, they said, no, I want to go back. Because that was better. Because it's a little bit hard for you to actually progress. Success is not easy, but it's worth it. We have, and what he started to do, taking the people out of Egypt, and in their mindsets were like still in Egypt. We have come to this point where our mindsets are still in Babylon. Because our churches, and those of us that weren't raised in churches, some of us that were raised in churches, we still have Babylonian mindsets. We still have Egyptian mindsets, things that actually work against the plan of God for our lives. And we need to actually take those, and the Bible says, take every thought that wants to exalt itself captive. And we have to just rage war and bring those things into subjection. We need to actually just be, like Jim was saying, the violent take it by force. The kingdom suffered violent, but the violent take it by force. We have to take it by force. Amen? So how do we take it by force? And this is where we get into. How do we take it by force? How do we take what God has meant for us by force? And we're not gonna kill nobody. You're not gonna have to kill anybody. You're not gonna have to kill anybody. I'm gonna say it again. You are not gonna have to kill anybody. You see, what's starting to happen in this generation, and you already see it happen, is that all of these rich, wealthy people that built up their money over these different generations, they're gonna see their wealth start dissipating, and they're not gonna know how and why it's happening. Just like how the stock market crashed and all of a sudden somebody benefited out of it, what's gonna happen, stuff is gonna start to fall apart and the kingdom is gonna start to benefit out of it. But what's gonna happen is that we as people are gonna have to have the right mindset to actually get what they're actually falling through their hands. In Galatians, it says that the son is no greater than a slave, right? As long as his mind, basically talking about his mindset and his thoughts, remain, right, like a child. Right? What God is saying is that I would not let you occupy what I have for you until your mindset is where it needs to be. Some of us haven't been able to occupy the things that God has for us because our mindset is not where it needs to be. It's not God not wanting it for you. It's you not allowing it to happen. It's your mindset that's not allowing you to be where God wants you to be. And we have to get this thing into to be able to pull down these mindsets in our heads that actually work against the plan of God for our lives. So all of us know, and in the Bible, and in Matthew 5, it says that we are the salt and the light of the world. And the Bible says if the salt loses its savor, it has no point, right? There's no point in having the salt anymore, right? There's no use for it. If salt has lost its savor, in Matthew 5, there's no more need for the salt. I'm gonna do a little bit of demonstration here. So I went to the grocery store, See, with God, if you get saved, salvation, you have the Holy Spirit, you are the chief mountain. You are the stream, you are the mountain that everything was gonna stream to. But what happens here, can somebody give me a piece of paper towel, please? I'm ending this demonstration, so we're gonna wrap it up right here. Thank you, sir. I'm going to put this right here. So, what happens, everybody can't really see that right too well, right? But you guys are going to see it eventually. What happens is that when you first start and you have the soul, and you have the Holy Spirit and have everything, and you're supposed to be a mountain, you're going to start off like this. And you're going to be like, wait, all the mountains around me are still bigger than me. And you're going to start comparing yourself to other people and other things around you. But the thing is, what happens with God is that He's a steady stream. So you got to wait till the pour is over. So eventually He's going to start building to a mountain. So eventually the mountains around you are not going to be seen as big. Your mountain's going to start getting bigger. But you have to be in a steady stream. It's the steady stream that gets it done. We all know the story about the tortoise and the hare. The hare started going all fast, and the tortoise is going to be like, oh, look, if you go look for it, I'm not going to win. And I saw Marcus post this on Facebook, and he said, we always forget that the tortoise won the race. Tortoise. Yeah. It won the race. It's not about how fast you go, but how steady you go. It's not about how fast we're going to get to this building, but how steady we're going to go after this vision of getting this built in. We need a couple million, honestly. We need a couple million. But if we're steady with God, a couple million is going to get deducted easy and little bit by little. But this is what it's going to take from us. It's going to take us to us being steady. This is why we have these pledge cards. This is going to allow us to be steady in what we're doing. It's very hard for us to do things and say, we're going to do this and we're going to do all I'm doing. I'm going to say all at one time and do it and put it all together. It doesn't always work out that way because life happens. But if you make a steady commitment, and if you know that you're steady with what you do, you can actually make the change. If you are steady with your what you're doing with your vision, what you have, the plans that you have for your life, you can be steady. You're going to be, eventually when you start, there's going to be all the mountains that are going to be bigger than you. But what's going to be, if you're steady, you're actually going to be the biggest mountain. You're going to be the chief mountain. Because you know why you're going to be the chief mountain? Because God already said that you are. And God's words last forever. It doesn't change. He's not going to come back and say, you know what, you're not a chief mountain anymore. I don't want you to be chief mountain. No, He wants you to be it. But will you be steady? Will you be steady? God wants us to be steady. Can we all stand?
This concludes another life-changing teaching from Hungry for God Church. For social media updates and more teachings from our pastors and leaders, please visit our site, h4gchurch.com.